Good morning, and happy Easter to all of you. Welcome to High Point. My name is Pastor Greg, and wow, I'm just overjoyed. You know, oftentimes as you're a visitor here, I start out my messages with my favorite Psalm verse, which is Psalm 118, verse 24, which is, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Are you rejoicing today? Does it feel a little bit like spring? Spring? I even brought out the pink shirt. It felt so good. Matt, thank you for setting the tone for the worship this morning. As we now go to the Word of God and let God speak to us, if you could, as Jay started the first 12 verses, I'm going to now read, and you haven't in your bulletins, but in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 36. If you have your bulletins, it's right there. If you have your Bibles, that'd be great. Luke 24, starting in verse 36. As they were walking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why does doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet? That is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took and ate with them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name of all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from the Most High." This is the Word of God. Gracious Father, thank you again for this opportunity to preach your Word and to proclaim your truths. And Father, I say this. Father, I need your Holy Spirit to speak for me. I need your Holy Spirit to change the very words that come out of my mouth to give power to the people who are hearing, so that, Father, you might receive all the glory. And, Father, we thank you for your redemption plan followed through in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and then giving us the Holy Spirit to those who believe. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross, but not staying there, and rising again. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, I got to tell you, growing up, I grew up Roman Catholic. And, you know, this week, more than any other weeks, it was called Holy Week. And I got to tell you, I hated this week. Were you waiting for something spiritual to come out of my mouth there? You must be a visitor. I hated Holy Week with a passion because I had to go to church on Wednesday. And Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And by Sunday, I'm like, give me a break. I'm done. You had the Stations of the Cross on Wednesday. You had Maundy Thursday. You had Good Friday. You had Saturday service, and then you had Sunday service. And I was beat and worn out. I couldn't stand Holy Week. Did I believe in God? Yeah, I believed in God. Did I believe that Jesus died for my sins? I didn't believe that Jesus died for my sins. Religion to me was the biggest drag of all time. It cramped my style. I wanted to party. And I didn't want to spend a lot of hours in a church. Now, whether I was Roman Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, you name them, I would have hated it no matter what. I'm here to tell you, and I really just have a simple message for you. There is more to a relationship with Christ than going to church. And though I rejoice in every single one of you being here today, there is more. And if you come back, I'll continue to say the same message that I'm going to talk about today. Because literally, it is the only message that we have. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've been doing a two-part series, and last week we went through the trial. And we had some decisions to make. Did Jesus really go on trial? Did he really die for our sins? Was he really sinless? And the answer to those questions is absolutely, I believe, yes. And he went to the cross. So we celebrate Good Friday. Because it is good that he died on the cross, but the resurrection completes the gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel. And so every day, not just on Sunday, you have to decide. You have to decide, do you believe what the resurrection stands for? Do you believe that Jesus is alive? You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if you don't believe in the resurrection, we are the most to be pitied. If you don't believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, we are the most to be pitied. We find our hope in the resurrection. So this morning, I really just have two reasons why the resurrection's such a big deal. Why you're here this morning, while some of you, like me, maybe just went to church on Christmas and Easter, I'm here to tell you that this message is so important, and I'm so glad you're here. Because without the resurrection, without the understanding of what Easter stands for, there is no reason to go to service. There's no reason to do anything. I'd just stay home and go live it up. Because without the resurrection, there is no hope. So the first thing I just want you to see, and it comes from the Luke 24 passage, verses 44 through 47, but no resurrection, no Christianity. I mean, do you realize that? No resurrection, there is no Christianity. Now, I get it. There are lots of people that think Jesus was a pretty good guy, and he said lots of good things. And that's reason enough for you to follow him. You know that Sermon on the Mount on Matthew chapter 5? You know, that's just really good preaching, Jesus. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to follow this really cool dude that probably did a couple magic tricks. That's the Jesus I'm following. He said some really good things. Jesus said in Luke 24, 44 through 47, listen to this again. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. That everything, you hear me? Everything that Christianity stands for, everything that was written about me in the law of Moses. That's the Torah. That's the Old Testament. That's the prophets. What Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and all these people are talking about. And the Psalms must be fulfilled. We don't have a resurrection. We don't have Christianity. Listen, we can follow a bunch of good people. Muslims follow Muhammad. But I'm here to tell you, Muhammad died when he was 61. And he has a grave. And though he may have said some good things, he cannot die for your sins. They are following a man, not the God-man. Buddha said some really cool things. Buddha was a man. I can't say his name because I don't speak that language, but it's really long. He was a real person. And he died. And he has a grave. You can go visit it if you want. Confucius was a man. Lived around 500 BC. Said a lot of cool things. Some of you may even quote him. He's dead. He's not alive. Oprah says a lot of cool things. She's gonna die. Dr. Phil says a lot of cool things. He's gonna die. We do not follow a Savior who is dead. We do not follow a Savior because he said great things. We follow the Savior Jesus Christ because he died for our sins and he's alive. And he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. That's our hope. You know, I want to say sorry to all of you that maybe come to church very, very sporadically because you've seen church or you've seen Christianity as the world sees Christianity. You see Christianity as a bunch of do's and don'ts, the law. You see Christianity as, man, they must really think I'm not good enough to go to church. Or you see Christianity as so many different things. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you see Christianity like that because that's what the world has showed you. That you get these emails that say, don't go to this store or eat at Chick-fil-A, and then you're a Christian. And if you don't do this and you don't do that, you couldn't possibly be a Christian. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's what you think Christianity is. Whether you give money to a church, it sickens me. I grew up with that stuff. I walked away from that. I walked away from religion. Jesus had hard things to say about religion. Do you understand that? Christianity. Let me simplify it for you. You ready? There's not a bunch of things. Like, if you listen to me and you click on and you send it off to six people, that somehow God's going to answer your prayer. That's not Christianity. You ready? Here's Christianity. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And God knows this. And the only way that we, as sinners, can glorify Him and give Him glory for creating us is to save us. And the only way He could save us is to become one of us. And He did. He took on flesh. He became a man. And He died on a cross. A horrible, ugly death. Even Herod and Pilate said, this man is not guilty. He has done nothing wrong. It's because he's God and he's perfect. And God died on a cross for us. The perfect sacrifice for mankind. And when you place your trust in the fact that Jesus is alive, why is that important? Because if he's not alive, he didn't die for our sins. Or I'm saying, he's dead. Okay? That means that God saw his sacrifice as not sufficient if he's still dead. But because he is God, because he was the perfect and is the perfect sacrifice, he did not sin. God raised him from the dead. He raised himself from the dead. That is the good news. Don't add a bunch of stuff to the gospel. Don't add a bunch of law to the gospel. Christ fulfilled the law. He died on the cross for sinners. That's Christianity. Anything more than that, any amount of things you put onto it, baptism, confirmation, you name it, you start putting things on it, it no longer becomes Christianity. I know that's hard to hear, but I'm guessing you're like me. That grew up for 26 years thinking that somehow you were going to get to heaven based on what you did. You didn't do anything. You just brought sin to the table. And Jesus said, I forgive you. if you believe in me. If you do believe that I died and rose again. You know, a drug dealing, fake ID making person like myself found hope in the gospel. Found hope in the fact that God would really want to save me. I got to guess that some of you are so burdened by the law of Christianity, what people have told you what Christianity is. You are so messed up to think, what do I have to do? Well, here's what you got to do. Believe on the name of Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's it. That's it. No resurrection, no Christianity. The second thing. No resurrection, no hope. Listen, Paul says it very clearly. If we don't have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. We just as well do what we want to do. You don't think... Think about this. The resurrection had such an impact on the disciples that their first message is in Acts chapter 2. Look at these verses. Verses 23 and 24 of Acts 2. This Jesus, this is Peter's first sermon. This is his Billy Graham crusade. 3,000 people got saved. Okay, you ready? This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that both he died and was buried. And his tomb is with us today. That was David. That's who the Old Testament saints were worshiping. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne. For he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up. And that we are all witnesses. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How is that true? Because he gives you hope. A living hope. I met with a lady yesterday, or a couple days ago, Friday. And she was struggling because a family member of hers had died. And this family member was the rock. And this family member was such a rock in her life that without her rock, she was struggling. She just couldn't get over it. I listened, and I gave her the only thing I could give her, which was the gospel. See, the gospel gives us hope that Jesus is alive. And if you believe in him, you will not die. Spiritually. Though your body may die, you will live. If you know Christ is your Savior, you have hope. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what struggles you're going through, the fact of the matter is, if you have hope in Christ, you have everything necessary to live this life for Christ. If you have forgotten what Jesus has done for you, if you have forgotten that he is alive, go back to the hope of the resurrection. That's what Peter did. The first messages were all about the resurrection. You don't think they were jacked? You should be jacked. If you know Christ as your Savior, Nothing you do on this life, in this life, has eternal penalties. It's temporal. You will someday see your Savior face to face. Isn't that good news? No resurrection, no hope. That's what the resurrection gives. You know, death isn't something that God wanted. Death was the result of sin. From our father and mother, our first father and mother, and Adam and Eve, to every single one of us. Jesus wept in John chapter 11, verse 35. Not because he was shocked that his friend Lazarus died, but that he was sorrowful over death. Because death is not part of God's plan. Death is a result of sin. We bring that to the table, and God gives us hope in the midst of death. Have you lost somebody? Have you lost a friend or a family member? And you're wondering, what do I do? Well, I'm telling you, the answer is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection that Jesus is alive and he gives hope to those who are dead. And we are all walking dead if we don't know Christ. He makes us alive by the fact that he's alive. He takes dead bones and raises them to life. That's hope. And if you don't have that hope, I can understand why you're scared to die. I can understand why you're scared that you'll never see so-and-so again. Because you have no living hope. Because you don't understand the resurrection. You see why Easter's such a big deal? Do you see, for the first time maybe, why the resurrection is so important? Because without it, we have no Christianity. Without it, we have no hope. And Paul says we are the most to be pitied if we have no hope. Why would I even be up here? I just as well go back and do the drugs and all the other things. Because I'm telling you, it gave me temporary satisfaction. But it never gave me hope. When I trusted Christ as my Savior on November 2nd, 2001, I began to realize God showed me the scriptures for the first time. He lifted the veil from my eyes. And he showed me what real Christianity is. He showed me that my sin separated me from a holy God. And if I don't place my trust in the holy, living God, Jesus Christ, I am going to spend eternity without him. And God doesn't want that. You know he created you to be with him? Do you know that void you're feeling? That's the void without God. God gave you that void so that you would want him. Romans chapter 2 says he writes the law in your heart so that you'll know that you're a sinner and need him. Well, it wasn't too hard for me to realize I was a sinner. I'd done enough bad things in my life. But for the first time, as David wrote in Psalm 51, I realized my sin was not against people. It was against God. And because it was against God, I was going to be eternally separated from God. And on November 2nd, 2001, I'd gotten an argument with my wife, and I sinned. And I just realized for the first time that my sin was not just against Laura, but it was against God. And I couldn't stop. And I told my wife I needed to get on my knees and ask Jesus to save me. I needed to have forgiveness of sins. I needed the risen Christ to save me. Because only he can. He's alive. Muhammad couldn't save me. Oprah couldn't save me. Jesus could save me. And so I placed my trust in him. And then he changed me. See, some of you put the cart before the horse. Some of you want to clean up and go to Jesus. You don't have enough SOS pads to clean yourself up, okay? You don't have enough lava soap. Do they still make lava soap? My parents used to say, go clean yourself up with lava soap. Jesus says, your righteousness is like filthy rags. You're trying to clean yourself up with a filthy rag. How does that work? Well, it's the reason you don't feel like you have any hope. Well, on November 2nd, 2001, I placed my trust in Christ. I asked for forgiveness of sins, and he came in. As the last verse in Luke 24 says, you wait. I'm going to send you this promise, this hope. And that is the Holy Spirit that God gives every believer in Christ. Ephesians 1 said it's the seal of the redemption. It's the seal of the inheritance. God places His Holy Spirit in you. So why? So that you will remember everything that Jesus taught. His death, His burial, His resurrection. So it's written on your hearts every day. Why? Because this world is not easy to live in. Amen? And I need help. First, I needed help for salvation. Secondly, I need help in this world. And He's the only one that can. And so I placed my trust in Christ. And I understood for the first time what real Christianity was. And I understood for the first time what real hope is. And as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, as Peter experienced, it's the reason I can preach. Because if I don't have the resurrection, I don't have any hope. And I have nothing to say to you. But I feel like I got a lot to say. And I hope you'll keep coming back and hearing it. Happy Easter. Thank you for coming to God's church, High Point Church, today. Thank you for coming this morning to hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it is the only story, the only thing that you can possibly need today. It's it. So thank you for coming. And I hope you come back to get encouraged with the same message. Yeah, maybe I'll have some different illustrations, but the gospel's still the same. Do you believe it? Let's pray. Gracious Father, Father, even as I was singing, I was overwhelmed by the fact that You would die for me. And Lord, I fall very short every day. And I'm thankful that I still have hope in the gospel. I'm thankful for verses like Romans 8:1, for there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. And Father, if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know You personally because of what people have told them what Christianity is, I pray that the Word of God penetrates their hearts, even right now. And Lord, even as their heads bowed, that they would hear this verse from Your Scriptures in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Lord, thank You for that scripture. There's nothing else to it. Just believing that Your Son died and rose again. Father, I pray for the people in here that don't know You, that today would be the day of their salvation. That today would be the day of their salvation. In the day of salvation, You helped them. In the time of salvation, You heard them. God, are some people in crying out to You right now? I pray they are. I pray they're praying right now that they need forgiveness of sins and for You to come into their life and change them. But most importantly, to give them eternal life. Dear Jesus, thank You so much. I pray these things in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Please stand as Matt closes us in song.